listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Hey, you could do a little bit better than that. How's everybody doing today? You made it out. You're not afraid of having a fly swatter hit you. You're at church. We're excited that you are for the third part of our series called Leftovers. If you're watching online, make sure that you share this feed. The world has lost its mind and they need a message of hope. Just sharing it on Facebook. Might get censored anyway, but it's worth a shot. And then for those of you in the room today, if you want to pull out anything to take notes on, I mean just anything, a pen, something, your phone, swipe it. If you're on Facebook, God is going to get you. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But pull out something to take notes on. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. We've been in this book of the Bible for the last several weeks, and it's chock full of truth for our everyday life, for really to see God's provision advance in our life. And I just want to say as a disclaimer before I get into preaching this, God showed me this one chapter, and there's four stories in it, and he really chose the different weeks. I think that you're going to see God's hand on the stories that we're going to bring out to you this week. It's very apropos for the season that we're in, especially in Michigan. It was a couple of months ago that Kai and I and the whole family, the whole troop of us, were coming home from church. I don't know if we were here late for a meeting or for a small group, but it was everybody. And being a father of four now, like, late to me is seven, okay? Like, that's a lot, okay? That's a lot to ask. And so we're leaving the church, and I am so hungry. The kids are hungry, but we had gone through the drive-thru several times that month. I was just, I'm not going to do it. You know how you get to the spot where it's like, I'm never going to McDonald's again? Like, 3 weeks later, you're there smashing Big Macs. But whatever, we're just not going to do it. And Kaya says, it's okay, I've got food that I was going to cook tonight. It's prepared, ready to go. All I got to do is cook it. Okay, everybody's on edge, you know. I mean, when your kids have just streaming tears down their face and snot rockets, it's not COVID, they're hungry, okay? And so we get home and we get everybody ready. And we're all sitting at the island in the kitchen, staring at Kaya's every move as she's cooking this meal. It took her a lifetime to finish it. I don't know, it's like 30 minutes or something. I was just, it was ages. And we were just like drinking she feeds us, and I'm telling you, I almost wanted to tell the kids to not get any on the walls. They're eating it so quick, they're inhaling the food. Have you ever been that hungry in your life? Where maybe you thought you had some lunch at work and it was set aside and you were all excited, but it got thrown out by like the witch of the office that doesn't want anything stinky in the fridge. Or maybe you were set on something when you came home, I'm going to have that, and it wasn't there. You just get famished. You know what's funny about that is that everybody starts talking about how, oh, this is the best meal. This is so good. It's not the cooking, you know. You're hungry, and it gives you a different perspective. Now, there's some people that are here today, and some of you have been here for a long time. Some of you are in a brand new season of God really waking you up, and you're excited about the things of God. You're excited about what he's doing in your life. I'm going to tell you, whether you've been here for a while, in Christianity for a while, or whether you're a person that's brand new to this thing, if you want to advance in your walk with God, if you want to see his provision in your life, if you want to see his goodness shown to you, the growth that you're looking for in your faith, in your marriage, in your parenting, if you want it, you're going to need to be hungry. You'll need an appetite for God's best that's going to have to lapse a lot of the things in this world. The provision, resource, ability, resolve that you're looking for, gang, I think we all could agree it's found in God, but it's going to take a real hunger. It's going to take a real chase. It's going to take a real hunt to see it come to pass in your life. I had you turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. Just a little bit about this chapter. It's really in a thematic way about how God comes through no matter what. And that's a blanket statement. It doesn't say that in there. But you'll even see situations in these stories where it seems to go down to the wire or past the wire and to the spot where we get a little bit frazzled. But God is faithful, God comes through, and he doesn't need things to look, the optics of it, look like everything's going to pan out for him to do a miracle. Say amen, somebody. I'm going to start reading with verse 42, 2 Kings 4 and verse 42. One day, a man, unnamed, a man from Baal Shalisha sounds like, bye, Felicia. Anyway, Baal Shalisha brought the man of God a sack of fresh grain and 20 loaves of barley bread made from the first grain of his harvest. Elisha, this is the prophet, he says, give it to the people so that they can eat. Verse 43, what? And if you don't read your Bible like that, you're not reading it right. What? His servant exclaimed, feed 100 people with only this? But Elisha repeated, he said, give it to the people so they can eat, for this is what the Lord says. Everyone will eat, and there will be even some left over. Verse 44. And when they gave it to the people, there was plenty for all and some left over, just as the Lord promised. Y'all bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for meeting us here. Lord, I ask that you'd show us how to tap into that pursuit of you, that hunger for your best in our lives. Lord, we do want better marriages, better kids. Lord, we want better lives found in Jesus. And God, to see that come to pass, we know it's going to take more. Show us what we can do. Show us the key. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So this unknown guy, and by the way, the Bible never clarifies who this person is. He's from Baal Shalisha, which you'll never forget it as long as you live. By Felicia, Baal Shalisha. He's from this area, and there's pretty cool information about that we'll talk about in just a second, but he's unknown. You know, the Bible, it doesn't do things by mistake. It's not an accident that it doesn't name who this guy is. Can I put it this way? It's trying to say that he was just nobody, or better, he could just be anybody. He's a normal person, somebody who's not bigwig or low. He's just a normal guy, and he is making the decision to honor God in such a way to bring his first fruits. Now, some of the great men that I've met in my life, they never really make it to the news. There's no such thing as like news articles anymore that are like local boy does good. Those are all dead, you know. And so we don't hear about some of the great men that are around us. And there are some. They're a dying breed. Culture has tried to wither men down to these squeaking little nubs, complaining about everything. That's not what a man is. And there are men in this church. I've known men in my life, and there's something very powerful about that. And the scripture says that he was a man. He was a person that was going to go outside of the norm and follow God. Also tells me this by the fact that he's not named. God knew who he was, yeah? God doesn't ignore you. God sees you. God knows silent prayers that you've never dared utter out of your mouth. God sees your sacrifice that you make when no one else is looking. When Pastor Joe doesn't see, God sees everything. And he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Somebody say amen. The first thing I want to tell you, write this down, is when God blesses, he always involves man in his blessing. Always. And that to say mankind. He always involves us in the process. I grew up in the North Country, and we had some agricultural people. We were adversaries with them. They were the Grant Tigers, everybody. And I heard a story about one of the farms that was there. This guy, he was so excited about the harvest that he had in his little backyard garden that he was a farmer of onions and things like that, but he had this little backyard garden. He's all excited. And so he wanted to bring the preacher home to see all of the wonderful things that he had grown. And he shows the preacher, and the preacher goes, that's great. Look at the tomatoes. Like, oh, that is awesome, you know. They go through everything. And the preacher actually does get kind of excited towards the end. He says, brother, I tell you what, look at how God has blessed your harvest. And the farmer takes a hanky, and those old guys, they'd wipe the back of their neck, and he said, yeah, I'd have seen it when God had it to himself. And you don't think that's funny because you didn't grow up in the North, but the idea is that you still have to do your part. Like, only God can make something grow. Only God can take something that's a little seed and grow it into something else, but you have to do some cultivation. This is a principle that's in the Bible from the earliest books, Genesis 1 and 2. You'll read about how God created everything, something only he can do. But then he makes Adam name all the things that he created. Why? Adam can do it. He's looking for partnership, a relationship with Adam. All through the Bible, you'll see it. The blessing of God is received in what he does and what we do to receive what he does. And you say, well, Pastor, that just sounds like a bunch of works. Listen, it's not even. Like, there are some things you can work the process, but then there's something that you still have to partner with him, even if it's not works. I'll prove it to you. God is not willing that any should perish but come into eternal life, right? But yet we know that not everybody's going to get saved. Why? You have to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, right? When you do that, then everything that he did becomes yours in the moment. But you have to partner with his program. Say amen, somebody. I say that to say, because some people, they think that the blessing of God works like you're just going to get a dump truck back up to your front door and just cash is going to come down because you've been tithing for 2 weeks. Honey, I've never gotten a check signed Jehovah Jireh. I've just never seen that before. I'd love to have one, but that's not the currency of heaven, everybody. And so we want the blessing of God, and some of you are just waiting. And I got to tell you in a loving way, you're going to be waiting for a long time unless you learn how to partner with God's program. Somebody say amen. It continues on. A man brought a sack of fresh grain and barley bread made from the first grain of his harvest. Now, what's happening here? The setting of this story is very, very significant. It does not make sense that this unknown man is bringing his first fruits, his tithe. Why in the world would he bring it to the prophet of God? That's out of order. You can read through Numbers and Deuteronomy. You can read through Leviticus, and it will explain in good detail that what they're supposed to do is bring their first fruits to the temple, to the Levitical priests, the Levites. And those are the people that receive the tithes. Why is he doing that in this season? Now, the context is massive. During this season, think of it like our Civil War, right? There's the Yankees and the Southerners. This is a big split in the kingdom of Israel. There's the northern kingdom, and they've become very sterile, very godless. And then there's the southern kingdom, and they want to worship God. But the problem is this, the temple is in northern Israel. They can't get to it. And so here's what's happened. That northern kingdom is apostate. They're rebellious against God. And the people in the north who lived there, even if they were godly people, listen to me, they were discouraged, if not outright prohibited from going to the temple to worship God. Did you hear what I just said? And so what's happened? There's this incredible pressure on this unknown man to leave where he is, to leave his spot of apparent safety. But remember the context as well. There's a famine in the land. And so he's not doing very well financially. And he, in his heart, he wants to serve God. He's trying to find someone who can receive his first fruits offering so he can be halfway right with God. But to do it, he has to go against societal pressures. He has to go against government mandate, and it's hard. This is something we need to emulate. Hard decisions coming up, New Chapel. I didn't think in 2019 I'd have to stand in front of a room full of people and tell you it's going to be a hard decision. It's going to be hard in the next little bit for you to make hard decisions for God. You do it. God will keep you safe. He'll protect you. He'll bless you. The fire won't touch you. Your clothes won't even smell like smoke. Say amen, somebody. Now, guys, I see these things as our obligation. Now, what is he doing? He's taking his first fruits, and it's barley. If you know a little bit about what's happening and the seasons that happen in Israel, this would have been the first big harvest that they'd have of the year. It's the third feast of their calendar called Bakarud, and it means first fruits. He's worshiping God. These are this man's tithes. He's trying to put them in the right spot. Write this down. There is a reason why God has us put him first, because if we don't, we'll put him last. If you haven't found that to be true, I'm going to assume the best. Nobody's ever made the mistake. I have not paid my tithes on time. Back in Bible college, there were several times. And here's what's amazing. When you put God first, it's amazing how the rest of it just falls into place. You never even miss it, you know? But when you put him last and finally you're like, oh, gosh, I got to figure some stuff out, all of a sudden you start making decisions that you're not proud of. I'm going to tell you another thing about God. He doesn't take second. I'm the Lord thy God, have no other gods before me, yay? He does, in the most loving way, I got to tell you, if you think that it's you could just do it whenever, it's the first thing you do financially. When God increases your life and he blesses you, the first thing that you do, now you don't have to be legalistic about it. It could be just a check that you set aside, or it could be something where, you know, I mean, for the longest time, Kai and I didn't have any cash or any checks. We just had that little piece of plastic debit card, but like we didn't have anything like that. So in our hearts, we'd say, God, we're separating right now, and we have recurring giving that's set up online. So we put God first so we don't mess it up like I would. But listen, he doesn't take second fiddle. It's not that he doesn't take second well. He doesn't really do well taking second, but he doesn't take it. Otherwise, he's not preeminent. Otherwise, he's not God. It continues on. Elisha says, give it to the people so that they can eat. Now, Elisha, when he's doing this, he's commanding this small amount of grain and barley bread to be given to these 100 prophets. If you remember earlier this month, we talked about these prophets are kind of on the run. It's the prophet guild. And it's not just 100 prophets, though. It's actually 100 households, similar to how they would do the census way back in the day in the early 1900s, and they'd say a head of household and then everybody else. We still run our house that way at the Bevilacquas, but as far as like how they would note you, they'd say 100 men. That was 100 families. So it's not just 100 people that just a couple loaves need to feed. It's actually, conservatively, in between 1 and 3,000 people. My belief is that it's about 5,000 people. I'll tell you why in a little bit. Now, remember, there's a famine in the land. The amount of food for the first fruits that this guy is bringing is pretty small. I mean, nobody could survive off from a tenth of what he was bringing. So in other words, if that's 10% of what he has, he's up a creek because that's not enough for even him to survive. Think about this dude. Homeboy is going and risking the government nabbing him. He's taking this little itsy-bitsy bit that he's supposed to go and honor God with. He's taking incredible risks. Food is a luxury? No, food is a necessity at this time. This is a guy who's going through an incredible risk to honor God. Do you remember where he came from? Baal Shalisha, okay? Let me tell you what that means. Baal in the Old Testament is this demon god who tried to say he was the god of rain and food and provision and fertility. And this area that he's from in the northern kingdom has made this promise. Baal means God. Shalisha means two more. So in other words, this guy and two, it means confirmation. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? This guy is leaving his demonic God, and he's actually leaving Baal Shalisha and following the true God, who ironically, if you wanted to use the same name of where he came from, is the true God who expresses himself in three and is going to confirm his covenant with this guy in this moment. Think of what he's doing. We read over that in four little measly scriptures in 2 Kings. What this guy's doing is sticking his neck out and he's saying, these guys promised me a good life in northern Israel, that they were going to meet our needs, but we're facing a famine, and I've just come up with something. The government's not so good at meeting my needs. I'm leaving these guys. I'm leaving my old trust system, my old way of doing things, and I'm following God into a new way of doing and being right, and there's provision there. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? Write this down. Godly provision comes after you lose faith in the world's lackluster promise of aid. Because, friend, it ain't coming. If it comes, it comes with strings. Government is not your source. It's an idol. When you rely on them to push on your chest for your next breath, you're setting yourself up for failure. Those guys can't lead their way out of a wet paper bag. It's an idol. Do you hear what I just said? It's an idol. There's other things you can make an idol. You can make a relationship in your life your idol. You can become a completely different person when you get with somebody and put on airs and do stuff like and make them into an idol. You can make your parents an idol and try to dance on marionette strings to make them happy your own life. It's called approval addiction. What you're doing is you're yielding to them more than you yield to God. That can become an idol. But listen to me. What this guy is having to leave is tremendous. He's having to leave the world's way of doing things and go a different way. And he's trying to find any repository to be able to bless the God of Israel. This is amazing what he's doing, guys. It continues on. Elisha says, give it to the people so they can eat. What? His servant exclaims. Feed 100 people with only this? Now, lest you think that this guy's just casting shade on Elijah and he's just got a bone to pick or he's undermining, that's actually not what's happening here. This guy is likely a protege of Elisha, his right-hand man. And he's not asking anything, trying to be curt or trying to be critical of what's going on. I believe he's asking a genuine and practical question. How are we supposed to feed all of these people, thousands of people, with a couple loaves of bread? If you haven't faced that question before in your life, it's a grievous thing. But maybe you faced it in a different way, which is, how's this going to happen? You ever face that? I got these kids, God. How's this all going to work out? God, you've called me to do something significant, but I keep on having closed doors. How's this going to work? Because you told me something great. You gave me this great vision of what my marriage was going to be, God. Where are you? How's this going to work out? This isn't enough. And friends, what I've learned is that God is not looking for you to have all the supply. God is looking for you to yield the supply you have. When you do that and trust, God can do things you could never imagine. Write this down. Limited resources freely offered to God are always enough to meet the need. Your little bit freely given to God is quite enough. Does God need a full pantry to cook a meal? Have we forgotten? And it's easy sometimes, guys. Even having seen the goodness of God shown in my life, God's faithfulness shown, people are fickle, aren't we? You go through something, and all of a sudden you hit something hard, and you forget that God can multiply, that God can do miracles, that God can part seas, even when he's done it for you in your life. And so for the Christian that has been around the block, I would say, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in your God. You trust him no matter what, and he'll see you through. And for the person that's taking baby steps, and you're like, God, where are you? I want you to know that you can trust God. He wants to show you his character and his trustworthiness in your life. Can anybody that's seen the faithfulness of God say amen? Amen. Say amen, somebody. That's good. We need that right now. So Elisha, he repeats himself. And the difference in the second time that he repeats himself, he says those age-old words, my God, how I've heard them. Thus saith the Lord. It's those words that mean, this isn't just me saying this to you, servant. This is the command of heaven. These are the words of God. He says that not only will there be enough for everybody to eat, but there will be some left over. Are you hungry, New Chapel? Amen. Write this down. God has a way of providing beyond our current circumstances. See, we just want our circumstance, our need, our issue met. We're going through a hard time. We've got a pressing bill. We've got this vision. All we need is this little lump, and then we'd be able to do it. But see, how God wants to bless you is beyond your need. God wants to bless you, and we just read it, so that there's leftovers. Well, wait a second, Pastor Joe. You said that God does not waste any of his anointing or blessing. He doesn't. The most wealthy people that I know are very frugal. God isn't wasting it. He's meeting their need and giving them leftover to use, to live off from. They don't just need a meal. It's a famine, and they're in the middle of a desert. They need provision to go on, a sustaining provision, and that's what God gives with first fruits. And so what I want you to see with this is that as this guy is honoring God, God is meeting his need beyond his current circumstance and giving him longevity, and that's what you need. Stop living to roll the dice on the next bill that comes in for a miracle. Oh, God, please, I need miracle, more miracle. God, please show up, miracle, we're going to lose the farm. God wants you to stop having to rely on his miraculous power and begin to trust his promises and walk in blessing in your life. It's more stable, you'll have more peace, you'll have more joy in your life. And the people that were clapping get it. Because you go through a lot of life worried, sick, get bags under your eyes, working your hands like crazy. And I'm telling you, when you're blessed by God, there's an assurance in that that the world can't give you, that idol God can't give you. And so this Bible story is powerful. Elisha, he takes the loaves, he breaks them, I suppose, and he meets the needs of these guys. But here's what I want to do. I want to take you to another part of Scripture. You see, there is a dyad here. The Bible talks about the Old Testament as though it's types and shadows. In other words, that these things point towards Jesus. They point towards the cross. They point towards redemption. Well, this story that we just read, it literally happened. But it was a type of Jesus, a shadow of his provision. And it's shown in the Gospel of Luke. It's actually shown in all four. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, though, to the book of Luke, chapter 9, Luke's Gospel. I want to show this to you because this right here is Jesus fulfilling this role. In fact, when he does it, they start to pine about him. They say, is this the prophet? They start to liken him unto Elisha because he does things in such a way. It's amazing. So Luke, chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 10. The apostles, when they had returned, told Jesus of all they had done. So he had sent them out. They're preaching, doing great things. They come back. Then he took them and went aside privately to a deserted place. Same type of origin, the middle of nowhere, belonging to the city of Bethsaida. Bethsaida, y'all look at me. Bethsaida, literally translated, means the place of the hunt. Can I put it this way? Are you hungry? He takes them out to a deserted place, literally called the hunt. It's this pursuit. It's this desire, right? Verse 11, the multitudes followed him. Wait a second. They're following Jesus. This is against government orders at the time. This is against what their local religious rulers would have told them to do. They are going outside of the norm, following Jesus into a deserted place because the provision that our God gives you is so much more sustaining than what the world can give you. The Bible says about Jesus that he's the bread of life, but he says, eat it and you'll never go hungry again. In other words, there's a sustaining to the way that he blesses. I got to read on. When the day began to wear away, Jesus is preaching like 12 hours, the 12 disciples came and said to him, send the multitude away that they might go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. Now, Pastor Brian, otherwise known as the Horse Whisperer here at New Chapel, has learned how to communicate to me, okay? And I have learned that there's certain ways that people, they kind of talk to the pastor, you know what I mean? They're expressing a lot of concern for the people here. Their stomach is rumbling, you know. And let's send the people away, you know. And really it's like, hey, we're all dying, you know. And so I'll take the bullet for this one. We got to send them. Let's do it for the people. I love Jesus. You'd hate him for your pastor, but I love Jesus. Here's what he says. Verse 13. You give him something to eat. That's Jesus. Do you know why he says that? Because God sees more in you than you even see in yourself. God sees more provision and anointing on your life than you could ever imagine. If you could see the hand of God on your home, you'd be amazed with it. If you'd only begin to trust him and walk in his promises, you'd be amazed at how God would bless your life. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. They said, but we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If you don't know what that is, that's the captain's special at Red Lobster. Notice the ratio, by the way. Those little buns are like, go down pretty easy, like potato chips. Okay, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Unless we go and buy food, can we get a check from the church for all these people? For there were about 5,000 men. Aha. Verse 15, part B. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Verse 16, he took 5 loaves, 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples, they're doing the work of the ministry, to set before the multitude. So they all ate, 5,000 plus people, right? They were all filled, scriptural that I should look this way, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. Now that was fun, we had a little bit of teasing during that, but do you see it? Do you see how Jesus fulfilled this type and shadow? It's amazing that these people followed him against what everybody would. You know, Jesus didn't get crucified because he listened to everybody and followed all the rules. He broke tons of laws, broke tons of rules. In fact, you know, the number one reason why people think that he really did get crucified is because he called God Father. Nobody called him Father. He said, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. Does it make sense? He broke every rule that they had. Now, he stayed with moral rule. He stayed with the word of God. You see, our laws supersede their laws. And so we have to stand for what's right and what's godly, despite what culture says. Say amen. Amen. Now, I find it amazing how Jesus works this miracle. Jesus made them get ready, come to order, before he ever multiplied the loaves and fishes. Now consider the alternative, and I faced this before in my life. It's a very serious thing. Church people are crazy. Don't get between church people and the potluck. You're going to get trampled. You're going to get punched, hit. You read in your Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians, they created a whole new office called deacon because the widows couldn't eat because these lard people go to get the KFC bucket before they can get up there and get anything to eat. The people that are quiet are the people stealing money from widows. Okay. Consider the alternative. They'd be trampled. So what does Jesus do? Order. If there's no order, it's not going to work for Jesus. The very thing, if there's no order, the very thing that's meant to bless you will actually cause harm to come on your life. God wants to bless you, but if there's no order in how it's going to happen, you'll be damaged by the blessing of God. And God's not going to use his blessing to damage you. That indicates something. You have to be ready for something. So Jesus orders them in groups of 50. Jesus being the best leader that had ever lived on the face of the earth. This is his leadership book, by the way. Think about it. As a leader, I'm thinking very practically. If I see a group of 50, there's 5,000 people. If anybody's eating in that group, I know that they've been served. Do you see that? So he's going through and they're ordered. And as they're doing it, I'm convinced, I'm pining about this. If you were sitting there and Jesus is breaking these loaves and he's feeding everybody, you might not have ever been able to see the miracle. It might, not that it was sleight of hand, but it just kept breaking. The bread just kept on coming. The fish kept on coming. It just kept on going. You wouldn't have noticed anything spectacular, but yet it was a miracle of God. And he's doing this in a practical way. Write it down. 2 points in this message. Number one, increase comes after preparation and order. That's when the increase is going to come. You say, well, Pastor Joe, I've been tithing for a long time. I've been tithing, but God hasn't blessed me. He said he'd open the windows of... Windows, plural. Well, I'm working my job. Job, not plural. Maybe God has blessed you all that he can bless you there. And God wants to bless you in more ways, but you can't see past it. Our culture is kind of weird. The invention of the weekend came like 150 years ago. Do you know that? There's a union of people that came up with this whole concept of you having 2 days off. Worst thing for you in the world. The Bible says work 6 days and on the seventh rest. That's God's system. So you're like, well, Pastor Joe, my job only got me on for 5 days. Right. You can have what I would call a sixth-day project. Some of you women can knit something. Maybe you ought to start an Etsy shop. Maybe you can do some stained glass windows. You're laughing. God will honor it. Maybe you can go clean houses a little bit on your day off. Boy, I tell you what, everybody's looking for somebody to clean their house, you know? Maybe you could be a person that could go and deliver pizzas on your day off. Some of y'all are laughing at me, but you're in debt, and you're like, God, fix my debt, and you're sitting, scratching your gut, and I'm here to tell you that's why that's there, and that's why the debt's there. I've learned from experience. There's a tax on stupidity. I've paid it, everybody. I'm not berating you. I've lived this. I've learned that God's going to honor the work of my hands, and I've got to be prepared. I've got to have some systems, and there's got to be order. I've got to have a plan with this whole thing. That's why we do Financial Peace University, for those of you in debt. This is totally backwards from the way that we want to approach things, isn't it? We want the truckload of money to back up before we have a budget, and God's not going to bless your lack of financial accountability. That's why the business people of this church trust me explicitly, because the way that I handle finances here, frugal, that nursing place over there that taught people to be nurses, closed. They're fixing to close over there. The Church of Jesus Christ is still open. Good financial management. That's why I budget at 90% of the previous year's increase, creating a 10% margin, and that's on top of giving 10% away outside of these doors to World Mission. Nobody budgets that way. If you start to do it with your home, God will bless it. You start to pull back, tighten your belt, get out all that debt, be enslaved to all those people, and be able to get to a spot where you can actually take some ground, God will honor it. Let me just ask you guys. The GO team is something I talk about a lot. And people think, oh, well, they need people on the GO team. You know, the GO team's doing just fine. You just ask the GO team. They're loving their lives. They love serving. They love serving kids. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We need more people on the GO team to be able to have something there to be able to receive people. If we don't have a system in place to be able to welcome first-time visitors, disciple people who get born again, be able to answer prayer through prayer. How's God going to send the salvations into this house if we're not ready? How's God going to send the fish if we can't scale the fish? Does that make sense, everybody? And you'd expect that from me. And I'm working hard. You need to be on the team because of what God will do in your life through the team and what we can do in this community. And this community needs Jesus. This world needs Jesus. It is self-fulfilling prophecy with this long, dark winter baloney. I'm going to tell you something. They need the light of the world. And it's not found in a shot. It's found in Jesus. And so what am I modeling for you? I'm modeling the program. You get ready for the blessing, God sends the blessing. You're not ready for the blessing, don't expect the blessing to come. Are you prepared? Write this down. Ask yourself this question. Are you prepared for God to move? Do you have a budget? Do you have systems in place? Do you have contacts that you know how to talk to the right people? Have you made the right purchases? Well, Pastor Joe, I don't need to bulk up on all that stuff and sit on it for a whole bunch of time. I don't need it yet. Right, but that's what we're talking about. There's people out there that buy things when they don't need them, and there's people that buy things before they need them. Be the latter. Selah, you need to be prepared, ready. If God blessed you, what would you do with it? Hallelujah. Are you hungry? Number two, growth, blessing, or advance comes by strategy, not by surprise. Going back to the proverbial dump truck of money, right? God just, you know, that never happens. But I'm going to tell you something else I've learned about rich people. You want a little tip? They know exactly where their money's coming from. It's not a mystery. They know exactly where the money's coming, where the resource is going to come from. It's not an enigma to them. It's by strategy, not by surprise. Business person, if you had 50 people sign up this week for insurance, or you sold so many products, or God blessed you in the way that you're believing Him for, are you ready? Could you deliver the order? Could you make it happen? Do you have people to process the paperwork? You see, the blessing of God comes. Are you able to receive it? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're not able to do it, and it would stress the system, and you'd be past due with the delivery and etc., and it ruins your name, God's not going to do it. You know why? Proverbs says that a good name is better than riches. So why would God bless you with cash, which is going to destroy you, versus you having a bad name? Have a good name. Are you ready? Could you fulfill the order? Are you agile enough with your business where if the government tried to do X, Y, or Z, can you still thrive? If you don't begin to think that way, man, I'm telling you, you got to be agile in this world. And so, gang, you have to think on your feet. Young family, let's go off in business for a while. You're saving up for a house. Well, that's great, but are you blowing all your money on Amazon and on Etsy shop? Guys, you have to have something there, a strategy for God to be able to bless. Write this down. Victory never comes without strategy. Victory never comes without a strategy in your life. And we hit roadblocks like everybody else. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So you're going to face walls. Don't take that as some sort of indication that it's not God's will that He would bless you. I heard a story about the polio vaccine, and they were talking about how they struggled to get this polio vaccine put together. There's a ton of setbacks and roadblocks, and they finally were able to do the polio vaccine, and they got it out, and they weren't discouraged. They probably should have been. I'm thankful for it because my dad had polio, and it saved his life, but think about that. We all face roadblocks in our lives. Just because it doesn't line up doesn't mean that it's not God's will. If you look through the Old Testament, the great wars, the battles that were fought by Joshua to take over Jericho, Moses getting the children of Israel into the promised land, all of these stories, they all came with a godly strategy first. So what's God speaking to you? What's the strategy? What's the angle that God has been speaking to you about? You've put off, you let go on the back burner, but if you don't take advantage of it, it could be very costly. You know, Hitler, he would have won, but he chose to fight two battles at the same time, one with Russia, the Bear of the North, and one with the Allied forces, and that's what made it so we don't speak German. Hallelujah. But I want you to see the leadership principle. Divided focus is going to make you fall. I put it this way. You only can have one baby in the crib at a time. Advice maybe I should take. I got two in the crib right now. Yikes. But the leadership principle, You can only really focus on one thing at a time, can't you? You can only really give it the attention that it deserves. God's speaking to each one of you something, a lump, an issue, a problem to solve, and you need to really get on your face and pray to God about it, because there's a strategy in all of that for you to be able to have victory. Here's what I want you to see today. God wants to bless you. God wants to meet your needs. God wants to take you to the next level. It's risky sometimes. The way you make room for it is with your first fruits. And further, you better have a plan, a strategy, an order for God to be able to take in all the blessing. With some of you people that want the great blessing of God, you better stop just counting on your job as your source. Your job isn't your source. God is your source. Your job is just a channel. It's one window. Open your eyes. God wants to bless you in ways that you could never imagine. God wants to exceed what you imagine about His blessing. For those of us that went through 2008, maybe it was hard on you, I just want to tell you today, by the Spirit of God, He wants to lift that stigma off from your life. He wants you to have confidence in His program, no matter what this world does. And when you do, He will carry you through, because He can exceed your plans. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, and then I got to pray. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that we ever ask, think, or imagine, be praise to God and the Father of Jesus Christ. He can do more than you can imagine. Don't limit your God. Give Him away. Give Him something He can bless, and God will show you fireworks like you never imagined. Amen, somebody? Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this church that, God, they were bold enough to go countercultural, to go a little rogue today, to trust You. That, Lord, You see their hearts. You see where they're at. God, You see where our country's at. Lord, we need revival. We need healing. Lord, I pray right now that You fill hearts with hope that are downtrodden right now. People that came into this place and they were dragging, God, I pray that You give them hope. Lord, I pray that those people that they know they need to make some adjustments or work the strategy that You've shown them, God, I pray that You'd give them witty inventions on how to engage the process that You want to take them on. Lord, I thank You that when they do it, they'll see multiplication in their life. And God, if there's anybody in the sound of my voice that doesn't know You, help me to find them in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in my auditorium today and if you don't have a relationship with God, the only way to have that relationship is through Jesus, His only Son. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on a cross with our name on it. And that paid the price for our sin, but what ratified salvation was the fact that our God rose from the dead. And when He did that, He made it so that when you go into relationship with Him, that relationship is strong enough to carry you through eternity. See, Jesus brokered a relationship with God where if you call Him Lord, Lord just means boss, Bible word for boss, you give up on being boss over your own life, you finally realize that you're not such a good God, you give it over to Him, God will pick that relationship up, and eternal life will start, of course. Heaven will be at the other end of death, but eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts the moment that you accept Christ. The peace that you're looking for, the resolve, it's all found in Jesus. And so, church, what I want to do is I want to say this prayer as a declaration of our faith. And if you're in this room and you want to make peace with God, if you say this prayer, the Bible says you'll be saved. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pray this prayer out loud with me. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins so I can be forgiven. You raised Him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on You. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put Your Spirit within me. I receive all that You have for me. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give it up for those people that accepted Christ. Proud of you. Now listen, people were clapping for you because they are proud of you. They all around you prayed that prayer and they know the great decision that you made. I want you to take a risk today and let me know. I'm not going to call you down to the front or embarrass you. There's things that we do publicly like baptism, but this is a moment between you and God. but I want to help you with next steps. And so similar to those people that are here for the first time, or maybe those that are putting a prayer request in, if you go to newchapel.com to that online connection card and let us know that you prayed that prayer today, what I want to do is send you a note talking about next steps to take in your faith. You need to find a faith community. Doesn't have to be this one. I'm pretty partial. It's kind of awesome, you know, but you need to find a church. You need to find your people. You need to find accountability. You need to get water baptized. And gang, we want to give you all the information to pray over. I don't want you to wake up Monday morning and be like, what did I join? You know, I want to help you with that because we are so proud of you. Aren't we, church? Let's give it up one more time. Loud and proud. You can stand up on your feet, gang. I love you. What a great day, yeah? I want you to take this message to heart and really pray over those 2 points. That God has businesses in the room that he's speaking to you. That God has answers some of you have been waiting for a long time. I want to let you know that next week, everybody say next week? Next week we're having child dedications. This is an amazing service. You have a young person that want to dedicate them to the Lord. Really, it's you saying, hey, God, you gave this kid to me. I'm giving him back to you. And it's you really dedicating your parenting to the Lord. There's nothing special, so don't bring me like your 17-year-old Damien, you know, that you want me to like cast the devil out of. That's a different service, everybody. And so there's a handling charge for that too, by the way. Anyway, but you don't want to miss next week. It's a plus one weekend. Let me tell you another thing. What you're doing right now is awesome. And in a culture that's encouraging you not to. We're taking every precaution. We're doing it safe. You can see that. I want you to invite somebody to come with you. I think some people just need permission to be normal again. I think this world needs a message of hope. So I encourage you, bring somebody with you. It's a plus one weekend next week. Now, would you lift your hands for the blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, you're dismissed. Have an awesome weekend, gang.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.